Welcome to Travis Bites. I am your co-host, David Roy, and across from me is everyone's favorite, John Travis. Thanks for joining us today.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Today we are going to be talking about something that is near and dear to my heart, something that I think we as a company are very good at, but I think ultimately I just want to hear your opinion on it, and that is customer service.
Okay.
So let's just go ahead, and I'm going to start rifling off some questions. We're just going to run through them.
You're going to rapid fire them?
No. I'm going to say one, you're going to answer. Say the next, you're going to answer. Everything's okay. Going to be just fine.
Easy.
Yes. First and foremost, who are our customers and who are we serving?
Who are our customers and who are we serving? Mm-hmm. Well, trick question to some degree. First and foremost, who we think of chiefly as our customer is somebody that comes in with a project. Could be an architect, could be an owner. Most often it's a general contractor. Somebody that has a problem that is that they need to solve that is particular to what it is that we do. And typically they're going to pay us for that.
That is the hope.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we would call those our external customers. And again, chiefly it's a general contractor, but often it's an architect, sometimes an owner directly. And that'd be our external customer. Internal customer, everybody is serving somebody while they work here.
Right.
So external customers may be served chiefly by project managers, estimators who interact with them, our craftspeople in the plants, our service men and women out in the field. You know, they may have direct contact with a customer in some way, shape, or form in providing a service and solving a problem and communicating. But that said, everybody here is ultimately serving that customer, even though they may be first and foremost serving an internal customer. So
right.
Drafting and engineering, accounting, HR, there's all of this support network and system that happens here, logistics, that maintenance, that are things that in a sense serve ourselves, but everybody in some way is ultimately serving a customer. The sentences you always hear me use are, it doesn't matter if you're answering the phone or you're tabulating the spreadsheet, ultimately you are servicing a customer.
Right.
Everything that we do, how we act, those interactions, they all matter.
Mm-hmm.
Whether somebody's walking in the door physically here, we're talking on the phone, we're supporting somebody who is doing those things,
mm-hmm.
or physically creating, we're all serving the customer.
That's a wonderful answer. Which allows me to dovetail into our next question, which is, of course, what is good customer service in comparison to what some might say is subpar customer service?
Well, I can tell you what I'm always trying to espouse is, and the analogy I'd use is this, and actually I read it in a biography years and years ago about the Home Depot, but it's always resonated, and it's one part of what I've tried to communicate here. But the example given was this. You go into Home Depot aisle, and you've all had this happen. I've had this. You have, I'm sure. I go and I ask a question if I can find the person, and I say, where is such and such?
Mm-hmm.
And they turn around and say, I don't know. Well, that's bad customer service. They
right.
might say, it's in aisle 19. And you say, okay, at least I got some information. I'll go look in aisle 19.
Right.
But the best customer service is the person that says, follow me. I know the way.
Right.
And they take you to aisle 19. And that always resonated with me. And so here, I would say good customer service is solving our customers' problems. So for example, when I'm talking to a customer, often they're stressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
There may be a conflict. There may be an issue. Sometimes it's innocuous, a question or the like. But whatever it is, you're going to listen well. You're going to, if you don't know the answer, tell them you're going to get back to them. Or if you can solve it at that moment, tell them what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then often what you'll see me do and what I've been telling you to do is you tell them what you're going to do, right? You
mm-hmm.
tell them again, and then you tell them what you told them, right? So it's three
right.
times, the Colin Powell deal. But literally, I'll hang up the phone, then I'll go make sure it's going to happen, then I will call the person back and say, okay, I'm just following up on what I may have told you 5 minutes ago.
Right.
But this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to expect. And so tying all those things together, I think good customer service is solving whatever the particular problem they have is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we can physically solve it that second or not, sometimes we can't make the waters part, right,
mm-hmm.
to pull off a miracle. But we can communicate well what we're going to do, their expectations of what they're going to see, how we're going to go about it. So they're engaged, they're involved, they know somebody's on it, and you're working through it together. I think that's, to me, I think that's good customer service. Mm-hmm. And so the clarification there is, sometimes you cannot solve the problem that moment.
Right.
Right. You just can't. It's like physically not possible. The person you need doesn't exist in the system at the moment. Mm. They're gone.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that you have to create would take 3 days if you started this moment and you don't have the material or all the answers, right? Some of these things are outside of your control. They just gave you the space to go paint on Friday and they need it done by Friday afternoon. There's just no way.
It's just not possible.
Paint has to dry. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? So there's things that just can't happen. But we can try. We can articulate what we're doing, right? What we're doing about it, how we got there, what's going to happen next, and make them part of the process. And then we need to make sure that once we are committing to things, we do it,
right?
Mm-hmm. That's the part of really holding somebody's hand and saying, not just, here, go to aisle 19, it's in the middle of the aisle. It's, here, you're part of the process, I will take you there,
right?
Come with me. And I think that many people would argue we do that well. Mm-hmm. I hear that. I mean, are there times we fail? Yeah, there is. Mm-hmm. But even in that, I hear often that one of the things people value in us is that you're not going to duck and cover if there's an issue. Issues happen. We're in construction. It's a given.
Yeah.
I mean, there is hardly any job that ever, soup to nuts, goes exactly the way you planned it. There's just no way. There's too many variables. It's unrealistic.
Uh-huh.
It's not possible. But how we conduct ourselves in that, I think, is very important. And so we put the customer first. I mean, sometimes, you know, the other sentence I use is, we're relational, not transactional.
Right.
Sometimes we'll bear the cost on something, or we'll fall on our sword when really it wasn't our sword to fall on, or we'll attempt to at least part the waters part way to make something happen at great cost and stress. But we're doing that because we're not playing for today. We're playing for 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
If I solve this, I'll get another job. And that job feeds everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think often we do that well and people commend it. I mean, the other thought on that for people is, not to put too fine a point on it, but if your expectation is there'll never be a problem, that's not realistic in construction, in my opinion. There's always something.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a give and take. It is a process that's going to happen. However, when things go crummy, then it'll go the way we planned, whether out of our control, in our control, whatever.
Right.
How we handle that can mean more to people than if the job had gone perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important. And that's everybody here, from the person, again, that first takes a phone call, or somebody walks through the door, or has a concern or a need, we want to do those things well. And I think when we do them well, then all of a sudden we get the phone call where somebody's like, hey, I'm in trouble and I need 20 painters and I need them for the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Will you come help us solve this issue?
Right. No, I think that's a pretty good statement. My thing, when I'm thinking about what you were talking about, is there are going to be times where we are going to get those issues that we can't solve, right?
You can't.
And sometimes, like, if we're talking about, like, in the aisle, right, where do I get this part when I'm at Home Depot? I don't mind it if the guy who I'm talking to who doesn't know says, hey, I don't know, but I'll get back to you.
Let me
go find that for you. Instead of just going, hey, you know what? I can't help you. So sorry. Just deal with it. Good luck. That's not what we do here at Travis at all. If there is an issue, we will do everything in our power, within our means, to help you address that problem. Regardless of whether or not we have the answers right now or whether or not it's possible right now, we will do everything we can to bend over backwards to help you. And I think that is certainly something that we here at Travis do a fantastic job of.
I hope so. I can't think of a time ever we told somebody, I'll just get bent, right?
Yeah.
You know, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we can't help them, we're trying to point them in direction. I had a fella today on a cabinet deal. One of our competitors ran into some trouble, and they need help. Well, I can't help you until this date, so now the decision is yours, right, whether or not that'll work.
Right.
And if I can't, you might try this other person over there. So you're at least trying to get them further down the road if what you can do doesn't solve their problem right out.
Right. Yeah. And so here's my questions. What, why do you think that our customers, the relationships that we built with our GCs and the owners and the architects of the world, why are they our customers? Why do they come to us? What do we do that allows us to work with them with these relationships so well?
Well, I think we put out a good product. Mm-hmm. On the millwork side, I think people would say, well, they're not always going to be there exactly when they said, but they're going to be pretty close. But we put out a good product on both the paint side and the millwork side. Mm-hmm. I would say, so they know that they're going to get the job done, right?
Right.
They know that we're not going to have a ton of issues the whole time. If there is something that comes up, we will take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, not issue-free, but problem-free. They're not going to have to chase us. They're not going to have to wonder where we are from a Friday to a Monday. Nobody's going to go dark on them.
Mm-hmm.
They know that if they call you, it is going to get done. It's
right.
going to get done well. And they know that we're going to work with everybody. We'll go work with the architect. We'll go work with the owner.
Mm-hmm.
I would also argue that they know that when they hire us, we'll go to bat with them for things that even aren't ours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, often people will drag me to a meeting. I say drag. They'll bring me to a meeting. Meeting really doesn't have a ton to do with me.
Right.
I'm really there for my small part, but I'm really there to back them up just from experience of
right.
this is how the process is going to go. This is how your job's going. Sometimes that's helpful. I've heard people refer to it as collaboration,
mm-hmm.
and we're collaborators. Nobody's going to say, that sounds like a personal problem. You go figure it
yeah,
out. Call me later.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we do have boundaries. I mean, sometimes people take advantage of that. And you have to say, look, this is my part. This is what I said. This is what we'll do. You know, so you do have to draw some boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people use this because, you know, what I always told Doug was, we're nice guys. We're not going to run away. We're going to be there tomorrow. You got a 100-year history in this thing. We do it and do it well. And I'd also say that we bring value, especially on harder, more challenging projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the paint side, you know, often you'll get a call for something that's technically extremely challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we go paint this thing that's five stories in the air in a corner? And, you know, how do we do it? And by the way, I only want to do it between the hours of 2 and 4.
Right.
You know, I'm making this up. But literally, you'll get challenges like that. And they're puzzles. How do I get this hotel done in this amount of time frame? How do I go get the resources, the people? How do I stage it? And so, you know, those are examples. On the millwork side, often people will come to pick your brain on design or how to go about doing something. I mean, I just met with a guy today that was a paint job and a millwork job. And the whole process was so that I could sit there with the ownership board and group and tell them the pros and cons of something. And I walked in cold,
mm-hmm.
you know, no idea what I was going to look at. So we bring that value. Nobody's paying us for that. That's
right.
just something. I enjoy that kind of stuff. So does Doug. You know, so does the other Doug. so do others here, and we're glad to go help and to do that. So I think collaborators, we're nice guys. We do a good quality job.
Mm-hmm.
They know that we're not going anywhere. You know, I'd also add that sometimes people use this because they know you're not going anywhere, so they'll use you for your balance sheet and other things, you know, for safety, if you will, when other people may be struggling.
Yeah.
'Cause they know that there's a long history here and that we want to do it well and right.
Right.
I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've ever raised my voice. Usually I'm the easygoing, here's what you got, you know,
right.
life's too short to stress over this too much, even though we're all stressed, never
right.
let them see a sweat. How
yeah.
do we go figure this out together so I can solve your problem?
Right. I think, I mean, I've seen you pull that just in my few years as an intern here and then working under you, where I've seen you just go in and go, you know, maybe the GC's angry or the owner's angry, and it's and you look at it and you just smile and you go, well, you know what? I think we can solve this problem and everybody's
yeah.
going to be happy. Don't worry about it. It's not that
right.
big.
What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah,
right.
yeah. We'll figure it out.
Inside, you're like, holy crud! How are we going
yeah.
to solve
it's like,
this deal?
Oh,
but
wait.
That's the value add. So your question is, why do people use you? So I'd like to think in you know, many of the people we work with say, you know, price is all that matters. And for some of them, it is. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But others, I think, as you look out at the landscape, I think if we're close, tie goes to the runner. That's the sentence. And I think we would get a better shake, mm-hmm. right? If we sent $10 for a bid and somebody else sent $10 for a bid, there's several of us that I, in either trade, that I would say are relatively even. But especially outside of that circle, I'd like to think that if you got to choose, they'd choose us.
Right.
For the very reasons that I mentioned.
I think ultimately it comes down to, what did you say earlier? It wasn't transactional, it's...
relational.
It's relational, yeah. I think ultimately, you know, construction, it is a people business.
Correct.
It's all about people. You're not building something without somebody being there. So if you can reach across the aisle and help out that other person, I think that'll ultimately help you down the line every time.
I agree. And yeah. Our hope is that we get to work with people that value that. Mm-hmm. And people that are reasonable. You know, not every job has an issue on it. That's true. But if they didn't have an issue with you on that job, you know the contractor had an issue with somebody on that job. Just right. in, you know, even their own people. Just we're in mm-hmm. a people business, as you mentioned, stuff happens. So it's a very collaborative working together. All the different trades, all the people within the trades, underneath the supervision of a GC, working for a designer that may or may not be on site at any given moment to present something and create something from nothing for an owner that will solve their need mm-hmm. and hopefully stand for generations. I mean, that's what you're doing. And that's a difficult process that I enjoy doing.
No, I'm 100% with you. I think that's why ultimately I like working here. Just because we
that's good.
Yeah. No, I think we tend to agree on that particular.
Yeah, I think the only thing we've gotten into so far was that whole deal of you don't have to know. You already mentioned it.
But
you need to know where the information is and
right.
come back. But
right.
what am I doing with somebody that is starting out in their career yourself? It's just if I can instill that in you now,
right?
Then you'll have 40 years of this and. Edification in what you do and have success. I just think those are important lessons. I mean, the other one I always use is phone call gets a phone call, letter gets a letter, lawyer gets a lawyer, email gets an email.
Right.
In other words, whatever happens to us, we want to do in response mm-hmm. And do it quickly. It's tennis. You're always batting the ball back onto their side. And if you have the ball, figure out what you got to do with it and you got to lob it back.
Right.
So the balls are always on the customer's side, not our side.
So if the ball's always on the customer side, here is my question. So email gets an email, lawyer gets a lawyer. What happens if, say, the customer, just in this particular instance, is being a little crabby? They're not always playing nice. They're playing a little hard. How do we ensure that we are still serving them and their needs without being a pushover or without, you know, stepping on their toes or without raising the voice ourselves? How do you find that balance?
In a perfect world, we would always work with people that understand the process and are utterly reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making up statistics. I'd say that the vast majority of people that we get an opportunity to deal with are. I would say that of the minority that I'm just going to say maybe work more by yelling than they do working together,
right?
I would say actually half of that group could be a daily deal, meaning that you have no idea what happened to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sentence I always use is, you have no idea what happened just before they talked to you. They may have had the worst day ever at home. You may be the fifth contractor, you know, they called. The example I use is I happened to be at a contractor's office one time, and this gentleman was had a reputation for always dressing people down. That's just his style. I love him to death, but that is his style.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he could make you feel very small, could make it totally no fun, could be unreasonable some of the times, could make it very personal, so, you know, so you feel really crummy. And I happened to be at this gentleman's office one day and was finding him and, you know, very wonderful contractor, worked with him forever, loved him to death. And so I had free roam of the place and I found him in the back. And overheard him having one of those conversations with one of our people, and literally I was right behind him as he was doing it. And while he was doing it, he was leaning against the side of the metal purlin that was there, calm as could be, while he was dressing down one of our people. So you never know what their day was, but you also never know that just may be their style
yeah.
of how they communicate because they— for whatever reason, have found that to be the most effective. And that's just how this gentleman did it. And right. we all know. And so the kicker is, how do I do this and deal with this person without taking it personal and still love them? And I think that's the trick. The right. trick is, how can I take your frustration if you're the contractor? How can I take how you talk to me that I don't like and still kind of hold it loosely, if you will, not take it personal, and still go solve the problem? I can tell you it's a lot easier when they're not that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what you're doing. My job's just to solve your problem. So I'm going to go solve your problem.
Right.
You know, a corollary of that, I've had a handful of people through the years where I have had to say, look, you won't talk to me like that. I had one in particular that wasn't to me. It was, I think, Robin or somebody. And literally, I said, give me the phone. I said, you cannot talk to my people that way. I mean, it's so loud, you can hear it through the phone, and curse word this and curse word that. I mean, there's just no place for some of that.
Right.
But I think we can do that well. And I wasn't mad. I didn't raise my voice. I said, you can't do that.
Right.
Right? If you'd like my help to solve this, right?
Work with me, not against me.
Yeah. I don't remember what I said there, but it probably was in the same type of voice. Where it's da-dun, 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 uh-huh. Here's what we're going to do.
Right.
In general, I find that when you let people vent, you know, you can solve it, mm-hmm. I think. And again, some of that, I think, is you don't know what happened to somebody. And then the other part, some people are just like that, and that's just how they think they need to do it.
Right.
And, you know, like the one I mentioned, you know, I like him actually an awful lot. I'd consider him a friend, you know. That's just how he communicates, and I know that, and we all know that.
Right.
Nobody takes it personally. I can tell you there's some I don't know that it gets really hard. But every time we take the high road, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know? All you can do is tell them what you can do.
Right.
You know, that's it. I mean, last week somebody called, and I mean, I'll use all the sentences. That will not happen.
Right.
You know, there's no way to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just release me on this thing over here. There's no way I can do it. For everybody else in the world, it's this amount of time frame. I'm already parting the waters. In other words, I'm making miracles to make this happen. Same customer, different person, week before. I'm all out of miracles, right? You know, so I just think people respond better when they know what the score is.
Right.
You know, I can sit here and lie to you, but this will not happen.
Right.
Right? And sometimes you turn around and you say, look, we dropped the ball, or, you know, what's happened lately is all of y'all are throwing darts, meaning the contractors. Mm-hmm. You know, we're guessing the same as you as to who's got a real date and who doesn't. I'm taking them in the order I got them with those that I think are most realistic.
Right.
I've communicated that, and there's nothing else I can do.
Right.
And the reality is we're all dealing with the same issues right now with people and material. You know, I mean, heck, we couldn't even get paint for a job for 6 months. I mean, when's the last time that happened?
Not in my lifetime, that's for sure.
So communication, communication, communication.
So you would say, well, let's wrap this up. To be a good customer service oriented person, you have to be able to be upfront, honest, communicate well, and then follow through on that communication.
Correct. It's a circle.
And if you can do that, then you're exhibiting good customer service.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So good customer service is not necessarily physically solving the problem at that instant in time.
Right.
Sometimes, often even maybe, it is that.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, it is a communicative, collaborative process that gets them from point A to point Z mm-hmm. in finding a solution and bringing them along with you. Don't ever go dark.
Right. Right?
If you don't have an answer, I don't have an answer right now. I have to get back to you.
Right.
I have an answer. You're not going to like it. Here's what it is.
Right.
I will do everything I can. Here's what's going on. And you know, I can't do it because of these six things that are all on your side. Uh-huh. You know, go fix them, I'll check back. You're bringing them along the journey.
Right, and you do that from A to Z.
A to Z.
Just kind of like we're doing here.
That's right.
We started at A, we're now at Z.
That's right.
So it was a pleasure being able to have this conversation with you. It was wonderful. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And if anybody is interested in this wonderful little conversation, you can find more of them on our website under the podcast tab. So thank you for joining us, Mr. John. It was a pleasure having you. And I look forward to seeing you in the next one.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.